Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Name Redacted Podcast. As always, I am your host, Alexander Fulmer. With me this week, I do have Colin Norris, Chris Nielsen, and Jeff Shaman, the Brew Shaman, our fantastic editor slash producer with me. We have started doing a soft open for everybody. Soft open. I always think of soft opens as... do we open before we open?
Do a pressure test and friends and family night?
Basically, what we're going to do is, from now on, we're probably going to go ahead and record the episode. And then afterwards, we're going to do a little intro for you guys about what the episode is going to be about. This week, basically... It was really only two things that were major.
We tested out a brand new game that's going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun.
Calling it Super Fights.
Super Fights.
And
it's not what you think it is, though.
No,
it's
not is not. It is actually a totally different thing. And we talk a little bit about, something we're going to talk about later, which is time paradoxes and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And then we rounded it out with talking about the Outbreak game that I run in a universe that Chris Nielsen has created.
And how not to min-max.
And how not to min-max.
And what happens to you if you do min-max.
Yeah. So that's what you can look forward to listening on this episode is that bottle falling on the ground.
And here is us from the past.
Fucking... hilarious. As soon as I saw it, I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
I said,
just saw it as a long ass file name, and I was like, what the shit
when
is this?
When you said it's an auto title, I was like, no, I'm not gonna argue with
and
you.
And it says by Brew Shaman at the end.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny.
It says DVD rip, like, this isn't a video.
Well, because when I saw it, I thought it was like, I just saw the long name, and I thought it was just an auto update, where. It takes the actual file name.
Oh, and then
of like the
it,
actual
yeah.
like of all the like technical file names.
Totally on purpose.
No, we did it on purpose.
Okay, yeah. See, I thought it was just like I'm too lazy to put a fucking title.
No, we went on Pirate.
And so that's the thing is, I actually even said we're talking about episode 14-1.
Yeah.
I even said when we named 14-1. It.
Oh yeah, because it's numbered wrong too.
What's that?
Oh, dude, yeah, it is. Because 14-1, like 14-1 through 18-1 are all on my computer.
Well, that's 14-1 now. When we put the old episodes up, they're just going to be posted as back issues. Air quotes.
Oops.
Okay.
Oh, well.
So it'll be Name Redacted Throwback, and then that'll just be that.
All right, yeah.
And that'll be good for when we'll throw those up for when we don't record. We'll put one of those up.
Okay.
Yeah. So those will just be back-burnered, like the holiday episodes.
I'm pretty sure that we also have some, like, some of those are ones we needed to get up anyway because they were really good. Like, I'm pretty sure the video game one is still not up.
Our interview is a laughing gas. Aren't even up yet.
Yeah, like, we got...
That's all my
dude, I think we still have, like, a solid 10 things we haven't posted.
We got a bunch of stuff. Which we could have been posting.
Yeah. But
we
could
have been doing that instead of getting drunk up 151.
Well, that was fun.
That was still fun. That was hilarious to witness.
Do you guys want to do the game?
I haven't listened to the podcast.
We can do a round of it.
Just one round of the game?
Yeah, yeah, and then we'll just to kind of give people something to look forward to.
Okay.
We can do two rounds since there's four of us.
I was just being a dick. I don't know.
All right. I'm good with it.
Like, okay.
This just tastes like juice, dude.
Well, so there's a new game.
No alcohol flavor to it whatsoever.
There's like a lot
Can
of
I have a small itty-bitty?
There's not a lot of hops in it, so.
So, there is a game that...
Ooh, it just smells like Trey
Raspberry. You are ruining the podcast right now.
You are sucking my cock, sir.
So continue, Chris.
There's a game that me and Jeff were screwing around with the other night as a game for the podcast. And we're going to do a full episode where we actually have like a full like 16 player bracket, and that'll just be a whole episode coming up soon, probably within the next month or so. But
we'll get a couple people on who are
qualified
and not just us.
We should get Ian out here.
Ian,
I'd like to get Ian.
Would be
good. I'd like to see if we can get like one or two other people into. We should get one of our comic book artist friends.
We should just do this with every interview.
That's too long though.
Well, but I like doing it as the. I almost thought about doing it as like a spin-off.
Podcast. Yeah,
because to do it as like the full 16 player bracket is going to take like an hour and a half. So it's going to be an episode. Exactly, an episode.
Yeah.
But we can just do these quick rounds too. We could even have one going on. We'll figure out. We'll talk more off air about this.
Yeah.
But so basically the idea is to take, it doesn't even have to be superpower people actually now that I think about it. Take two characters.
I could do, like if I wanted to, I could do Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take take two characters, fictional or real, as long as they're characters. So, like, a good example of that would be, well, maybe a bad example of that. Napoleon is a character, even though he's a real person. Yeah. Or Hitler was the example I was going to say, but that's just bad.
Yeah, but that's just unnecessary.
But everybody's going to go around and they're going to pick, in the big one, everybody's going to pick a few, so we have the 16 players. But right now we're just going to do a couple rounds to illustrate how the game works. And how about we just talk them through it as we play it? That's gonna be easy to do. Okay.
Also, Chris, I just realized I was talking about how I had all those topics and shit I wanted to talk about the other day, and I forgot all of them. One of them I do actually remember, and it's something that probably everyone here, but mainly Chris, will just like just jerk it to. Time continuum stuff.
Oh God, dude, we have to have holding on for that.
Yeah, because I just holding on for that because I just watched the entire first three seasons of
Doctor
Continuum.
I got excited too.
Because I love talking about Paradox. That's one of my favorite things.
Oh man, because Continuum goes into
that's my job right now.
Yeah, it goes into Paradox stuff. Like the entire show is just about Paradox after Paradox after Paradox, and you're just like, oh my god! Like they discuss every version of like Continuum based Paradox that you can possibly think of, you know, like on a constant basis. And I was
what
like,
I like. Man, and you probably also like, which is why we need to get a hold on, is the anti-paradox stuff. The ways that paradoxes correct themselves.
Yeah.
They talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because what if the timeline's just auto-corrected? Like, what if it just...
Right.
And no matter what we do, it's just going to auto-correct itself to the way it was.
Yeah, which is cool. And it's
if
cool
you look
to
at
think
time,
about...
If you look at time like a stream, yeah, you'll drop a pebble in a stream and it'll create waves, but the stream still continues.
Right.
Like,
and I think it's cool
that's
because...
That's the direct quote from...
Yeah.
The way that it works is it's like, I just like thinking about time, the time continuum in a way that paradoxes can exist with and make sense.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think like, oh, it's a paradox, that means it's impossible. No, that doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means that these other things have to also be true.
Yeah.
For that to
exist. It's an if-then sort of situation.
Right. Like, the grandfather paradox works fine.
Fucking Futurama just nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the grandfather paradox works fine as long as you pre-assume predestiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about that in depth for
hours.
Later.
Hours.
How do we want to decide who goes first?
I mean, you guys are more
any,
familiar
many,
with...
I got to catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers,
there's
let him
people.
Go.
Fulmer. Whatever.
Fulmer.
I was like, I have a feeling Chris is just going to look at me, because you were at that point, you're just going to go, fuck it, you do something.
The coin is George Washington, and I'm a direct descendant of George Washington, so I should go first.
Okay, so.
Everything I just said.
What's going to happen is you guys, normally we would do this before we draw out the brackets.
Yeah.
But you guys are both going to pick a character.
Okay.
To represent.
Just one?
Just one
right now?
Yeah. You'll do a round, we'll do a round.
But otherwise,
winners and losers will
But
do
otherwise,
one.
Like, eventually we'll be able to draft a team, or...
We should do that, too.
Well, and I actually had that thought, because there's a couple of ways where we could... You can draft a team, or you can fill out
or
a
you can
bracket.
Just
if we're
going to
do a
16-person
bracket, what we should do is we should have
everybody.
A list of,
so there's,
of 50 characters to
well,
choose
okay.
from.
There's
and
just do a lottery.
No. There's a game that I play that I bought at Starbucks, and it's basically the same game, but with, like... One section is nouns, another section, or it's people, places, things, and wild card are the quadrants, and then you draw up your final four bracket kind of deal, and then there's certain points assigned to that. And what's cool about that game is that a lot of times the question may be, what would spread peanut butter the best, a car or a car or Chevy Chase. And so then, obviously, Chevy Chase is going to spread peanut butter better than the car.
I don't know.
But
you can spread peanut butter pretty better than the car.
I thought of something really mean there that I was going to say.
Because he's gained so much weight, it's clear he loves eating.
But so let's say that Chevy Chase could obviously spread peanut butter better than the car. If you picked car to win, you're going to be fighting for car.
Yeah.
So it's a cool added element to the game that would work really well with this.
Yeah.
But you guys, do you have your characters ready?
Duh.
Okay. Yeah, I know who he's going to pick.
Okay,
so,
Fulmer, who
but
is
that
your...
doesn't even matter because you don't even know
what they're gonna. Yeah,
who
is
your character?
Just because of how in depth I've gotten with this character recently, Larfleeze is going to be my pick for round one.
Okay,
Larfleeze.
That's going to be super predictable.
Batman.
Okay, fair enough.
Crazy. I do. Of course, I called Batman on that for Colin.
I mean,
if Kevin was here, they'd fight for which Batman they were going to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, which Batman are you going
to
be?
Yeah, I'd like to know which Batman you
are.
Bruce Wayne? Well, no.
No, I was going to say, like, are you Golden Age Batman or, like, post-crisis Batman? Like,
no, Denny O'Neil, Neil Adams Batman.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my favorite Batman next to, like, it's Grant Morrison Batman and then Denny O'Neil. Well, right now, Scott Snyder's kind of...
Because I asked about Bruce Wayne because I really wanted to do Terry McGinnis the other night. Hold on. I just don't know enough about.
I want to point this out. We were just watching Venture Brothers, and yesterday I watched the episode of Venture Brothers where Hank and Dean are going through their future career paths they want to be, and Billy Quizboy is like, Hank, you put Batman twice, and he is like, that's because that's two different Batman, Golden Age Batman and post-crisis Batman. They're two completely different Batman.
He's not wrong.
No, I know. This is fucking...
So, after the teams are established, and this is going to be our bracket.
Okay.
Okay.
Jeff, do you have a scenario in mind?
I do not.
Of course he doesn't. It's Jeff. Jeff goes last.
No, I was coming up with scenarios the other night.
He was coming up with...
Get this man...
Somebody get him from...
Can we get him from 151?
The beauty of that was, like, Jeff actually went into, like, host mode.
Which was really cool. Oh, my God.
Because he had to back me up.
I have...
Me and Jeff and Joe and Cecily.
I have a...
Too bad we never did April Fool's Day.
Whenever we do this, drunk get... drunk.
Drunk get drift.
Drunk get drift.
Well, we also
Jeff
made
gets Schlotsky.
The problem is,
beforehand,
we made it a drinking game, and every time we paused, we had to take a shot.
It's a throw.
Every time we paused, we had to take a shot. But the only thing we had to drink was 151.
Oh, God.
So, we been drinking, like, I don't know, triple sec, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But
you'd have a stomachache before you got drunk.
Right, exactly. Something that was just like you continually get drunk, but you're not just, like, wasted.
I mean, you could just do power hour and just do beer.
Yeah.
Well, we are drinking beer and 151.
Shut up, beer.
But, so, a scenario. Who, okay, let's say they can use all the powers they want to. Okay.
All the money he wants to.
All the money, anything relating to your hero. And Jeff also, since I'm setting up the scenario, Jeff is also going to be the judge. So if you say something that's like, well, Batman's going to take his Iron Man suit, and he's going to be like, whoa, why does Batman have an Iron Man suit? He could, but you then have to rationalize it.
Yeah.
He had something similar.
Right, okay, so that's the thing.
But not in the canon in which I'm representing.
So. Jesus Christ, calm your tits.
Now he's thinking about
Colin.
Jumping
the gun.
Who
fucking asshole.
Could, I want to do something kind of spacey.
Spacey? Yeah, I guess so.
Something having to do with their
element, though.
I want to do something that has to do with, like, the space race.
Or please.
Who? Yeah, I know. I gotta take. That's too easy for Batman.
I love that both of our rationales for whatever question's coming up is I will just say cause Larfleeze, and you'll just say cause Batman.
cause the goddamn Batman.
You talking about me not being able to come up with shit?
Oh, dude, I can come up with shit.
Okay.
No, we're talking about
Chris. Who can make the best gourmet waffles, as judged by Chuck Norris.
I'm going with Larfleeze on this. Clearly,
well, obviously,
you've made your choice.
Okay, so this is where we flip a coin. Okay, heads or tails.
Jeff gets it.
Heads.
Colin first.
Okay, Batman goes first.
Okay, well, let's consider this. Batman is a world traveler. He's been all over the world. He's clearly been to Belgium. I mean, and when we talk about gourmet waffles, Belgium. I mean, they'll put anything you want on there. French fries, whipped cream, gravy, mayonnaise, whatever you want. He's also got the money and the resources to be able to get the best possible ingredients and learn from the best. Because we know if Batman's going to do anything, he's going to do it to his utmost ability. He's not just going to half-ass something.
Okay, those are Batman's opening statements. What are Larfleeze's opening statements?
Larfleeze's opening statements are, as resourceful as Batman is, don't get me wrong, Batman's a resourceful guy. But Larfleeze has been around for about 5 billion years. Larfleeze has the, I guess you'd say, the experience beyond that of what Batman could possibly have. Batman's just a normal guy. He has, like, at his oldest right now, what is he, maybe 35, 40, 45, something around there. That's fine. 5 billion years old. That's cool. Also, just as an open argument, gotta remember, whatever your ring is powered by, the stronger that emotion is in you, the better you're gonna be able to create your constructs. And Larfleeze, being the only Orange Lantern full of greed for the past 5 billion years, the greediest person. Period. That greed is going to fuel that ring.
Okay, so now here's what happens after this.
Don't get to rebut
arguments. Okay, actually, you get to take an action. So at this point in time, you two are now standing next to each other in some capacity, maybe not physically next to each other, but simultaneously making these waffles, and then Chuck Norris is actually going to compare them. So at this point, you can fuck with each other. You can use your powers to sabotage the other person.
Wait a minute, what?
Yes, you can use your powers to sabotage the other person, anything in your capacity, because you're both doing this simultaneously, and you both know that you're trying to win this competition.
Does he go first?
Yes, what's Batman's first action?
He's going to roundhouse kick Larfleas.
No. You got to start out making waffles.
Okay, so my...
What's he going to do? What's he going to start out making waffles with?
Waffle batter, eggs, and vanilla.
And vanilla? Pretty simple waffles for Batman.
Yeah.
Oh! We talked about how...
Well, I mean...
Pretty simple waffles for Batman. If that's not the name of this episode, I'm going to be really pissed off.
It's fucking brilliant.
Think about what Batman... Since I'm teaching you guys how to play the game, think about what Batman has at his disposal.
Everything. I already have mine. I'm in.
Okay. Let's say... I'll help you out since we're still learning how to play the game. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's say Batman has a lot of money, so he's going to, in assisting him, he's going to hire one of the best chefs that money can buy.
Yes.
To assist him. Who's that chef? Who's Batman's choice of top
Gordon
chef?
Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. So Batman and Gordon Ramsay are making waffles, and they start with the basic ingredients required to make waffles.
Correct. My first action is still the same. I summon all of my dead Orange Lantern companion constructs. Boom. Period.
Boom.
First thing.
Okay, so maybe together they have the cooking prowess of Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, no. This isn't just so I can do that. That's not that.
Okay.
This is so I can make several versions of said waffle.
Oh, shit. Okay. Batman, second move.
Definitely to assess what is going to make the best possible waffle in this situation, judging on what I know, what he knows about Chuck Norris and his tastes.
Okay, and so what does Chuck Norris want in a waffle?
Chuck Norris definitely wants a nice
beard hair.
crispy waffle on the inside, on the outside, but very nice, light and fluffy on the outside. Chocolate shavings, whipped cream, and a nice drizzle of syrup.
Okay. Larfleas, second action.
Second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to create a construct wall in between me and Batman / Gordon Ramsay, and that wall is going to slowly start moving in towards them while we're creating our waffles.
Larfleas cut off communications between Batman and
everyone
Gordon
else.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
Okay.
What does Batman do?
Is it just a wall? Just a construct?
Here's how it happened. Batman is on the left. Gordon Ramsay is on the right. Next to Gordon Ramsay is my team. That's how that happens.
So, intimidation factor?
Wait for it. I'm waiting for his action.
When did this become a role-playing game?
That's how this game works, man.
Bro.
Since when? Since just
you
now?
You just don't know how to play the game yet. You don't
part
understand.
Part of what's fun, because you're using all of the powers at your disposal.
Okay, give me a second to think like Batman.
He passes turn.
No, I don't. Fuck you in the fucking face.
It's the first time we're doing this.
He's getting frustrated. I'm winning.
But that's what that's part of what's fun about this game, dude. That's what I like about this game, is that...
Judge says no.
I'm gonna let him get some time. It's the first time he's done this. Part of what I like about this game is that,
Yeah, you just woke up from a nap. I was at work for 9
like,
hours.
I was,
shut
me
up.
Me and Rob were trying to... It was between Iron Man and Venom about who could give the best birds and the bee talk. And it was very much like a bodybuilder versus a playboy. And it was just I got to a point where it was you know what? I know Venom inside and out and I really want him to win, but I forfeit.
Yeah.
There's just no, and so that's what's fun is sometimes it's you know what? I defended this character to the best of my ability, to the best of the ability of the character. And honestly, he just wouldn't win.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get in touch with Oracle and have Oracle patch me through to Gordon Ramsay's cell phone.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
All right, cool. I am going to use the intimidation factor to get Gordon Ramsay to A, lie to Batman on that phone, and B, help me give me different ideas for all of my Belgian waffles. Intimidation factor. Because it's Larfleas. You're scared of him. Period.
Okay, normally we would end there, but I'm going to give you guys an extra round.
Batman is a human lie detector. He knows that Gordon Ramsay is lying.
That's why. Right there.
What does it say? It says Orange Lanterns.
Holiday cookies, baby.
Holiday cookies. Yeah. Okay.
It's like an orange slimer.
That's a concept. That's the concept.
That's one of his constructs.
That's the first guy he killed.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the yeah.
Okay. So orange blob. That was your action.
Yeah, and he just says, "Gordon, I got this. Don't worry about it."
Okay.
Also, I'm running a fucking diagnostic on Larfleas. I'm learning everything I know about him.
Can't run diagnostic.
Larfleas.
Yes, I can.
All right. Final action.
Cool. Larfleas. With his ring, because the ring actually does have diagnostic powers, everyone knows this, they have diagnostics, running a flavor palette test on fucking Chuck Norris to see what he likes best because of his palette.
Okay, closing arguments from Batman?
My closing argument is that Larfleas would never, ever, 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 ever just hand over the fucking waffle.
Okay, and what is the final product that Batman has?
Final product is the most perfect waffle ever.
Okay. Larfleas, closing arguments.
Larfleas made several waffles so Larfleas could get his own waffle as well as winning the contest, because part of Larfleas' thing is if he's greedy, he wants to win, too.
Nah.
Ooh.
I don't think Larfleas...
Larfleas wants the prize! And if the prize is a golden medal, it's shiny, and he wants shiny shit. You know how I know? Larfleas won through 11 in my room.
That's fine, but Larfleas wouldn't give it up. He'd never give the waffle to fucking Chuck Norris to eat.
Okay, so now here's what happens. You guys have to separate yourself from the situation. Me and Jeff are going to deliberate. You're not allowed to talk back until we say you can.
So if you guys want a podcast...
No, I was just going to do it live on air. You guys are essentially in solidarity right now.
Fine.
Okay?
Cool.
All right. Cool. So, obviously the greed thing is going to be a big thing. And he definitely used that in his opening argument as part of the reason why he would win.
Correct. But that might be his downfall as well.
Right. I honestly, man, like, I don't see Larfleas just like... he would have to not be there when the waffles were handed away.
Yeah. But I feel like Chuck Norris would probably want both of them to come up and...
Right. And Larfleas didn't make a contingency plan for, or Team Larfleas didn't make a contingency plan for a way to get around that.
Yeah.
So then it comes down to a question of, is Chuck Norris able to get the waffles, and who would win between Chuck Norris and Larfleas?
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Dude, default win, what?
So, I think the jury's come to a verdict. That A, Chuck Norris wins.
Chuck Norris wins the best waffle.
But between the two, like it's Batman, dude. Maybe I don't know. What do you think? We didn't come to a consensus. I lied.
Because
Chuck Norris does get the waffles.
I was like, you said Chuck Norris gets the waffles.
Wait,
like
is,
Chuck Norris does get the waffles.
Is Batman rocking a beard? Is your Batman rocking a beard? Would he be rocking a beard?
It depends. I mean, in that timeline, he did have a couple beardy moments, but that was just when he was strung out on Venom.
You guys totally ignored his arguments completely and the fact that I was ready. I'm calling shenanigans on this if Batman wins. I gave you the best scenarios, and you still shit on me. Ridiculous.
I don't know. You know what, man? I don't know. I think actually Larkley's might win because it's a lot of waffles.
It would give him a lot of choices.
But the question is, can all the constructs make one waffle better than that one waffle that Gordon Ramsay made?
Batman didn't make a Gordon Ramsay waffle. Larfleas did, because he cut off contact with Gordon Ramsay and
Batman.
You're
not allowed to talk
right now. But is Chuck Norris going to want to try that many Belgian waffles?
He's got to watch out for his figure.
He's going to be like, he's going to eat like one or two of his.
And they may not be the best ones first.
And they could be the worst ones first. He may just take one and one.
Well, Jeff, it's ultimately your decision because I came up with the scenario.
True.
I'm not supposed to talk. We can have it later.
Yeah. I'm going to have to say...
This is why you do this with an odd number of people, by the way.
True.
Dick butts.
Yeah, we'll give it to Larfleas just for being...
For point pandering.
Not for point pandering, but for being creative
point
with his
pandering.
Character.
Okay, cool. So Larfleas goes to win, Batman goes to lose. Okay, Jeff.
Am I picking a character?
Even though you guys know, as soon as Larfleet, somebody.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Batman never loses, and I realize that. But man, I was on top of it.
No, you're fine. But
some cool
and part of the game is being able to represent your character too. Not that you didn't, but.
But I was totally on top of representing Larfleet. I even stole Gordon Ramsay.
You got a character?
Ramsay is shiny. He's mine.
Now we have to vamp.
Nah, we're good. In the middle of you guys figuring out your characters and
is
whatnot.
Is it you and me now?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Larfleas is one issue away from it finishing. I've been reading it, like, since it came out, and it's really, like, it is fantastic and whatnot. Like, but I found one of my favorite comics from when I was a kid again.
Pick something that's Marvel, then we can actually do the little mini Marvel DZ.
Okay.
Then I can figure out, the comic that I started reading again that I forgot I love so much.
Oh, Mouse also, Guard. Forgot one rule. No godlike characters.
Okay.
So, no Supermans, no Hulks.
No Galactus.
Yeah, right.
Got it. Technically, Larfleas is a godlike character.
He's not quite as OP as...
Oh, dude. He's
super OP.
Yeah, he is. In the comic books, like, you really can't kill him, period.
Well, but I will say, it's not about being OP... Because it's not a death match necessarily.
Yeah.
So somebody like Galactus is OP because he could just eat the fucking planet and the whole thing would be irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, or like Superman moves ungodly fast. He's relatively smart. Like, there's certain things that kind of go into it. In this case, Larfleas has a glaring problem.
Yeah. He's greedy, and he wants to eat all the waffles.
Right, exactly. So,
which is fair. Like, that's a fair point. He did want to eat all the waffles. In my brain, I was thinking about that. I was like, if this has to do with giving anyone anything, like, I might be fucked. Like, yeah.
You got somebody, Jeff?
I guess so. Okay. I don't know the character. Like, yeah.
I'll just do this, since we were doing it this way. I'll go Spider-Man.
Oh, figures. Cool.
Since that's what everybody else did.
Do you want to judge, or do you want to do scenario? He wants to judge. I can see it in his eyes.
Yeah, I'll judge.
Okay. Cool. You got your character, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so.
Who's your character?
I think I'll do the Punisher, just for shits and giggles.
Oh, okay. See, that's a character I know a lot about.
See, I don't know a lot,
that's
but,
a war
you know,
for
fuck
the
it.
Ages.
It'll
they
be
met before. It was hilarious.
That was Punisher's first appearance, was in Spider-Man the first time. That's mm-hmm. It was at the conclusion of the first Jackal arc. I want to say it was somewhere around 143. Yeah. Wow, that was scary.
Who wants to give Alex another cigarette? Who wants to do that? Somebody does. I know you do.
Okay. You got scenario?
Yes,
don't
I do.
You have a job?
And,
I do,
and when
but
we
I haven't
this,
been buying cigarettes.
And when we do this for real...
Stop being a
we'll,
bitch.
Stop
and bumming
just,
cigarettes.
Hey, guys,
and get a job.
This is a terrible podcast already. and when we do this for real, we'll have all the scenarios and heroes and everything off air. So, scenario.
All right, scenario is who out of Spider-Man and the Punisher would be the best at fixing a broken watch.
Yo.
This is bad.
Coin flip.
What, you don't like that? I think that's awesome.
No, I think it's... No, I...
That's why I said it.
I'll reserve my judgments until it's time to judge.
He thinks it's a flawed premise.
Yeah.
I would agree. What? I think Jeff might agree as well.
I agree as well.
Fine.
I feel like one
different
of
the scenario.
I feel like somebody has the upper hand.
The reason
on that
it's a flawed premise is because Spider-Man is documented as being very intelligent, whereas Punisher is not necessarily. He's still smart, but
Punisher is
way.
A tactician, not an engineer. I mean, the Spider-Man built web slingers.
And part of this, once we have the premises written down ahead of time, we can be drawing them out of a hat, and it's not going to be the same.
Okay, fine. Since we're going to do that, instead of doing it like in a mechanical engineering way, how about this? The person who would do the best wood sculpture of an elephant.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that.
All right, Jeff, heads or tails?
Tails.
Chris goes first.
Ooh, okay. Spider-Man, opening arguments. First of all, obviously representing Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Core Universe, ASM. Your dog
gross.
Is going to, like, lose a lung.
He's been doing that since he got out here.
It's pollen.
Spider-Man's incredibly...
There's a shit ton of snot.
It's just snot rockets everywhere.
Einstein's going to filibuster your argument.
obviously incredibly intelligent. The Core Universe, he's relatively artistic. He designed his own costume. He made his own costume. So he's pretty good with his hands. He's also really good with machinery. And so I think that he could feasibly come up with some sort of, like, CAD CAM system for making the sculpture.
Okay. Good opening arguments. Opening arguments for Punisher.
In the same respect, I feel like...
Who is the commission for?
Oh, okay.
Ooh, that's good, too.
This commission is for... You know what? We're going to go with another fictional character. Mm-hmm. This commission is for the Monarch in Venture Brothers.
Okay.
The Monarch wants it.
Do you know that very well? I don't know it super well. I know it a little
bit. I guess I'll go with a different person.
Let's
go.
No, you're fine. It's whatever.
No, I think me and Jeff are about on equal knowledge on that.
Okay.
So I think we're good, because neither one of us knows a whole lot.
Yeah, we don't watch Venture Brothers too much. And watch
Venture Brothers.
He's kind of like, he's like the arch nemesis of the Venture Brothers. He's got a couple minions at
his disposal. He's super nuts.
He's kind of crazy.
I know of him.
The basic, okay, cool.
That's, he's got eyebrows there to like a football.
Yeah. That's about all knowledge.
You see that kid's eyebrows?
I got hops in my throat.
Okay. What was the animal that we're sculpting?
An elephant.
Elephant. Okay.
Like I was saying, I feel like in the same respect, the Punisher would also be very good with machinery, since he probably makes his own weapons and stuff like that. He would probably be pretty damn good with a knife if he had to come down to sculpting it by hand, if it came down to that.
I wish there was a light out here.
On our Why isn't there a light out here?
Is there like a football fight, basketball fight going on?
I hope so.
Is that your argument, Jeff?
A bunch of people yelling.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay.
All right, opening arguments from Punisher done. All right, round one, starting with a... actually, you know what? You each get to choose your medium. It's not necessarily a wood sculpture.
Oh.
How about that? That throws an extra element in it. Is that good, Colin? Rule from the judge?
Yes.
Okay.
Pick your medium.
Okay.
You can pick your medium.
My medium will be...
You mean like metal, stone, wood, whatever.
My medium is going to be stone.
Really, any sculptable material is acceptable.
Clay, even...
My medium is going to be stone.
Stone.
And the first thing, I'll gather my materials now.
Okay.
The first thing I'm going to do is, since Peter Parker has a good amount of knowledge about what makes spiders tick, about how spiders work and stuff, and in the comic books, the reason that he was able to, in the ASM universe, the reason he was able to formulate the web was because he had the knowledge implanted into his head about how the chemical compounds work to make the webbing. So therefore, by the same logic, one could assume that he would have similar knowledge of spider venoms and would have a good working knowledge of how certain acids would work.
Ooh.
And so he's going to get acids and stone.
Very nice. I like it. Punisher, Jeff.
Punisher. Oh, God. This IPA is killing my throat.
I'll finish it.
How about you fuck yourself?
That's fair by the judge. That's
fair. Okay. Yeah.
The Punisher is going to go a different route, and he's actually. Oh, I thought you were like.
No.
Whoa.
No, go ahead.
He's actually.
I'm putting my canonical knowledge of Punisher aside.
He is going to use the. He's just basically going to use a shit ton of C4 to sculpt his.
What's your material?
C4.
C4.
Oh, you're going to actually use C4.
C4 as the material.
So it's kind of like modeling clay.
It's going to be like clay.
It's plastique,
yes,
basically.
And he's going to construct it out of that because he feel like the Monarch might like a little bang with this sculpture.
Can we just go ahead and call this?
This is really
because
good.
As soon as he said the Punisher and as soon as you said elephant, I was like, C4. Okay, second round.
Good okay. God, that is nice.
Second round. First thing that Spider-Man's going to do is Spider-Man... I should have put this in my gathering materials round. I fucked up.
I'll allow it.
I will. Okay. Spider-Man is going to track down an elephant. Okay. And he's actually going to...
borrow one from Kraven?
Yeah, go borrow one from Kraven. And he's going to take a CAT scan. So he's going to do a 3D scan of an actual elephant.
Ooh. That's your whole second round?
That's yeah, I think okay. That's a legitimate round.
Yeah. Hefe!
the Punisher is going to Google what an elephant looks like. Because he feels like that's probably the easiest way to do it. And continue to construct his C4 giant fucking elephant.
I would like to make a request. I would like to know what tools he is using to sculpt this elephant.
Basically, he's doing it by hand.
Oh.
Because he does not want to fuck up and...
Okay.
Maybe explode and kill everyone. So he's going to do everything by hand just to be safe.
To be fair, C4 is not that volatile.
Yeah, until you actually put the pins in and stuff.
It requires a charge, but...
Just in case. Or an incredible amount of force.
Yeah.
But yes, he will do that, and...
Okay.
He's just going to construct nothing too out of the...
All right. Ordinary. Round three.
Okay, Spider-Man, is this our final round, or are we getting four rounds too?
I'm going to give you four rounds.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
So, Spider-Man's going to go ahead and construct the... a KM system, and he's going to write an algorithm that's based on his knowledge of how acids work so that he can then use those acids to 3D print an elephant.
Okay. Punisher?
Since Punisher's already done sculpting, he's going to... Are we doing this in the same area? Where are we?
Yeah, I mean,
you're both New York.
Yeah, you're both right next to each other.
Okay, well,
I mean,
he's gonna find.
Sabotage is definitely part of this game.
He's gonna track down Spider-Man. He's gonna find his apartment. Okay. Cut his internet connection.
Question for the judge.
Yes.
What era are we in? How easy would it be for him to track down Spider-Man as his Peter Parker persona?
Assuming you know we've got. It's obvious. It's post-Civil War. And. I mean, obviously we're in modern times because you're using an AutoCAD and 3D printing system.
I think it's
and
funny
he's
that when
using
you say
Google.
Post-Civil War, half the people who don't know anything about Marvel are like, well, clearly it's not the 1800s anymore. Like,
is this... Okay, here's... Is it post-Civil War, pre-Spider Island?
See, I don't know anything about Spider Island.
Well, here's the thing, is that Peter Parker revealed his identity in
Civil War.
And then Doctor Strange used his powers slightly before Spider Island to reconceal.
Pretty much make everybody in the world forget.
Right, so that's why the era is important.
Let's say pre Spider Island. Post Civil War, pre Spider Island.
So he does know
who everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So
what are you
going to
do?
Advantage Punisher.
No, that was a very good question.
That was a great question.
So yeah, he's going to track him down, cut his power, and shoot his laptop, or whatever
the CAD
computer,
system.
Yeah, the CAD system, and then go back and finish up.
Alright.
Okay.
Round four.
Spider-Man. Being Peter Parker, this is prior to Parker Industries, but he still is working at Horizon Labs at this point in time. Has an entire
Horizon Wireless.
Has an entire lab at his disposal. And so then he's going to take his small project, take it into the lab, and then with the assistance of the people that he's working with, they're actually going to hook it up. And now it's going to be, since Monarch is a little eccentric, it's going to be a life-size 3D replication on stone. Sculpted by acid from an actual scan of a real life element.
Round four, Punisher.
Okay. Well, the knowing that who it's going to be for, it's going to be for Monarch. He has so much extra time that he actually constructs a life size elephant, stomping the Venture Brothers. Out of C4.
Okay.
Deliberation time.
Yeah.
No, actually, wait, closing arguments. Yeah, that's right.
So is this like presenting?
Yeah.
Yes. Spider-Man sculpture is pitch perfect, absolutely accurate to 0.001 of an inch of an actual sculpture, or of an actual elephant. It is not subject to degrading because it is made out of stone, presumably something relatively durable like a marble. And it's going to stand the test of time.
Okay.
Punisher presents it. Pulls out a trigger. Blows up. Has it on two different triggers. Blows up the Venture Brothers. and well, it blows
up
the
elephant. That's a whole nother.
That's an action. We're talking about closing arguments. Like, why?
Well, damn.
Under what pretense does the monarch want this? I guess is a good question.
Tell the monarch why he wants yours. That's what you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, presents it, and he basically explains how much he knows he hates the Venture Brothers, and how he wants them to die. So, he has constructed, like he wanted, an elephant with an added twist of actually killing the Venture Brothers.
Being able to
kill them. So, the elephant is doing his bidding for him.
Deliberation time.
Okay, the wall's coming down. Me and Jeff are now in isolation.
Cool. All right.
I guess, I mean, the C4 elephant would be way more useful because he could use it almost as, like, an explosive Trojan horse.
See, I agree. Like, and also, I do have to kind of say that from the Monarch's perspective, like, yeah, he does like the technological part of Peter Parker being able to use his brain and whatnot, but, like, the love and care of the handmade plastique C4.
It's an instrument of death.
Yeah, like...
Like, that can just...
It can blow up.
Yeah.
And that makes him really happy, I think. I think he is really impressed by the giant marble elephant.
Like, that's great. I just don't know what to do. This is fantastic! What do I do with it?
I'll put it in my throne room. But it will make...
weird, it's not even a butterfly!
But it will...
He commissioned it.
But I do need to say this. It will also add a lot of extra weight to the flying cocoon.
It'll be flying.
It'll be lopsided. Or it'll be hard to get up off the ground.
Damn elephant!
In his secret Grand Canyon lair.
Shit.
It's ultimately up to you. Honestly, like, I know this one... I feel like Punisher wins this one because of the explosiveness.
Yeah, because, I mean, knowing the Monarch like I do, like, that's something he would appreciate. I'm going to go Edge Punisher.
Edge Punisher.
Cool.
So, Edge Punisher.
That was a really good...
That was a good round.
The C4 was a...
That was brilliant.
Because, I mean, I don't know how Jeff got inside my head, because it's usually you that get inside my head like that. And as soon as he was like, C4, I was like, yeah, fuck, C4. Fuck yes. Because that's what Punisher knows.
I'm going to deliver this elephant to the...
Okay, so,
to the main room
loser's
of the
bracket.
Loser's bracket.
That's you guys.
Batman versus Spider-Man.
Are we keeping the same characters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to? Do you want to do the premise?
That's how
or do
brackets
you judge?
Work.
I like judging.
You like judging?
Unless you wanted to do
it
as
with the...
Okay. Well, no. Let's keep with characters.
That makes sense to keep characters.
Or the winner of this round would go on to face.
This is going to be weird.
The only time that the winner of this round would matter is since. Yeah, there would be a bye round. We don't have to do that, though.
No.
So this is just for the loser's bracket, for the loser.
All right, here we go. Spider-Man, Batman. Who would make a better tutorial?
Oh.
Who would make a better tutorial? Spider-Man, Batman.
I like it.
Yeah, right there, baby.
Do we really need to go through what tutorials are?
If you've listened to the podcast more than twice, and you haven't heard us describe what tutorials
I think
are...
The short description. A tutorial is...
A tutorial.
Are web videos that we make that are a tutorial on how to eat Oreos that usually have some sort of ridiculous added element to them.
Yes. As in, as a gamer, underwater, on a skateboard, how to eat an Oreo in these scenarios.
Okay. Right.
Do you want me to come up with a scenario for you, or do you guys want to come up with your own scenario?
I think that's part of what's fun.
Yeah, I'll come up with my own scenario.
Awesome. Coin flip.
I don't have it.
Sorry. Did you call for yours?
Call what?
You called. I haven't called yet.
Yeah, you called for this one.
Tails.
I lost it.
No, I move!
I can't see anything out
it's
here.
It's off the table.
What is it?
Flip it again. It's off the table.
Oh, shut the fuck up. I'm going to lose it in the air.
Just roll it again.
Damn hand-eye coordination.
Okay, that's fine. That's random enough.
It's super random.
What are you calling?
What are you calling?
I said tails already.
Oh. Tails.
Oh, goddammit.
Opening arguments.
This nickel is weighted, by the way.
It's actually a quarter.
It's weighted. It's been tails, like, three times.
No, it's been heads three times.
Yeah.
It's
tails twice.
I called tails less than.
And it came up heads.
Probability is not supposed to be part of this.
I'd like to prod that.
Yeah, probability control. Spider-Man uses probability control.
Black suit Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is going to make a tutorial, opening arguments, about how to eat an Oreo while fighting the Sinister Six.
Okay.
Batman.
Batman is going to show you how to eat an Oreo after his Oreo has been stolen by Two-Face.
And one half of it's
been scratched up.
Oh my god!
And I think we only need one round for this.
No.
Nah.
Because the first round is opening the Oreo, the second round is dunking the Oreo. No. What are the steps? This might be four rounds. Each round should be a step.
You twist the Oreo. Lick the Oreo.
Okay, lick the Oreo.
You dunk the Oreo. You eat the Oreo.
So you...
It really depends on how you eat an Oreo.
First round is twist. Mm-hmm. Second round is lick. Third round is dunk. Last round is eat.
But how do you eat an Oreo?
Those are the steps in tutorial.
That is the steps in tutorial.
That's one thing they have.
There's technically a five step because you put it back together, but we'll put back together and dunk in the same step.
Yeah, it's got to be the same step.
So.
Okay. The first thing.
Spidey.
Spider-Man's fighting the Sinister Six. He's going to have Doc Ock coming at him from one side. The Green Goblin's going to be coming at him from the other side. He's going to twist open the Oreo, and he's actually going to drop half of it on accident. And right before it hits the ground, he's going to catch it with his whip.
Flip. He's going to flip it. When he twists it apart, is he doing that thing where he's in the middle of the air, and he's like arched back, and like the feet are down, and the hands are up, and he's like, ah! And he's like
like that, except for he's like kicking Rhino in the face at the same time.
So he's doing an over-under?
Well, not Rhino. It's got to be Green Goblin because it's midair. Yeah.
So he's doing an over-under with Green Goblin over and Rhino under? Cool. I like it.
And Doc Ock's arms just come right by his face.
Anybody who's anything about like breakdancing will know what an over-under is.
Yeah.
Got it.
Scene.
It's raining.
Well, yeah, it's Gotham City. It's gorgeous fucking rain.
Batman,
it's either foggy, raining, or both.
How is there foggy rain?
Oh, my gathered materials are milk and Oreos. a pint of milk.
A whole pint. Got it.
Actually, a quart of milk.
Is it sealed or is it?
It's still
a glass.
Sealed.
Okay.
Oh, so I also have a glass.
Okay.
Those are my gathered materials.
So Batman is standing on the rooftop, watching Two-Face and his men.
Do you have gathered materials?
Do I have gathered...
This is the first round.
Do you?
You have to establish gathered materials.
I'm going
to
go ahead and call in an airstrike. Call Alfred and have him go ahead and send the Batwing with a carton of milk on drop in literally 15 seconds. Because that's all I'm going to need.
Tell me that's round one.
Is
that it?
That was his gathered materials.
That was my gathered materials. Okay. Is Two-Face robbing an Oreo factory?
He is pilfering Oreos that haven't had the proper Oreo text made on them.
You said after Two-Face stole the Oreos.
Okay, I'm amending for a dramatic effect.
Judges?
I'll allow it.
Thank you.
No!
What Batman is...
You gotta be nitpicky, man. Games are won and lost over the details.
And, to be a dick, Two-Face is just sitting there flipping an Oreo in the air. And so Batman's gonna make a show out of it, so he swings down, he kicks Two-Face in the jaw, Oreo goes flying, he throws a batarang, splits it in two, and then catches it.
Scene.
I may be biased here, but that's not as cool as the thwip.
I don't know. Imagining an Oreo like this and it just gets cut in half, that's kind of cool.
Like I said, I might be biased.
You are kind of biased.
Just saying he's going to be biased and say the thwip's not as cool as the batarang.
Thwip was pretty cool.
It was all cool.
Step two is lick.
Step two is lick.
Okay. This is going to be a lot easier for Batman.
Yeah, it is.
I can't get the mask off!
You should have done Bagman, Spider-Man, because then he could just stick it under the bag.
Oh my god, that would have been brilliant.
Yeah. Well, we already established...
Regular Spider-Man.
ASM, post-Civil War, pre-Spider Island.
Post-Crisis Batman.
Keep in mind that Pete's been battling, like, six of the most badass villains in the whole Marvel Universe. while keeping a champagne glass under one arm and a gallon of milk or a quart of milk under the other arm. Okay? No, fuck that.
That's not a champagne glass.
Sorry. You fucking.
That's what we do.
That's how we do it. Actually, it'd be a wine glass.
It'd be a wine glass.
Actually webbed up. We'll say those are webbed up in the corner.
Okay. Clear.
And so he's been fighting these guys like that. He's going to, while he's got one arm out thwipped, okay, he's going to thwip Doc Ock in the face, still flying through the air, okay? And Doc Ock's arm, since it was going right by his face, is actually going to catch the Oreo, and he's going to just, like, rip his mouth. Oh, goddamn it, he can't do that in that order. This is tough. He doesn't thwip Doc Ock in the face. Instead... He has to lift his mask up over his nose. And then he just licks the Oreo. I guess that's all I can do for this one. That sucks.
Okay.
That's unfortunate.
So Batman has just kicked Two-Face in the face.
Also, he kicks Random in the face.
Because there's got to be someone who gets
kicked. There's got to be an action.
Fighter. Batman has just kicked Two-Face in the face. He has landed. He has caught the two sides of the Oreo. He currently sees a Two-Face henchman running at him, waving a knife wildly. So he's going to dodge one way, and he's going to lick.
Oh, nice.
Then he's going to dodge the other way, lick. And then he's going to do a somersault over that guy, land on the other guy's face, and then put the cookie back together.
All right.
Solid.
I saw something else in my brain, but I like it.
No, I do like that a lot.
Okay.
Like, there's another henchman behind him, and he just, like, somersaults. And
wait, this is also the dunk. This is also the dunk action.
This is the dunk action now. Because it's dunk
that was the lick action.
That was the lick. Now it's the dunk. Then it's the
hit. I just put it back together.
Get it back together somehow before I dunk it. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
The back together can come anywhere between two and three.
Okay. So, the thwipped half of the Oreo that does not have the cream on it is probably about coming right back at me now. Okay, and so Spider-Man's spider sense goes off, and at the same time that he totally... What Sinister Six are we running right now? Because I'm sorry, my knowledge of Spider-Man's good. I don't know what post-Civil War, pre-Spider Island Sinister Six
is. Let's just go with the classic Sinister Six.
What are we defining as the
Kraven?
Kraven.
Doc Ock, Vulture.
I've already established Goblin and Rhino.
Rhino, Goblin. Electro.
Electro?
Yeah. Well, the Mysterio's in there, isn't he?
Whatever, fuck it.
Can be.
You get to choose the last one. Number six is up to you.
Where's Anna right now?
Okay.
She's inside. No. She's living here for the next couple weeks.
So, Chameleon.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Is attempting to fool Aunt May. Who at this point in time knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Okay? So Chameleon looks like Spider-Man. And since Spider-Man doesn't have time to dunk the milk himself, he's going to rip the web, pour the milk in the glass, drop it down to Chameleon, and throw the cookie at the glass of milk. Camera shifts to Chameleon so that Spider-Man is still doing the tutorial.
Oh, that's...
Do what now?
Nice. Really? You missed that? That is...
It's pretty good.
That is points, man. Bats!
Meanwhile, just to say that...
There's always an addendum before...
Well, Spider-Man is also now free to fight the additional five Sinister Six who are not distracted by the Oreo and glass of milk flying at them.
Okay.
Just saying, you gotta keep fighting crime.
Even though you're doing it...
Lick. Bats.
I've already done my lick.
With great Oreos...
I mean, sorry, dunk. Well, bats. Dunk.
With great Oreos comes great dunks.
I am Vengeance. I am the Knight. I am the tutorial.
Does he say that?
With great powers come great tutorials.
So Batman gets a signal from the Batwing that it's like 2 seconds out. As the Batwing crosses over and drops the carton of milk, Batman shoots his grappling gun on the way up, and then as the milk is coming down, he slices the top open with his arm gauntlets, dunks the Oreo cookie in, and then drops back down in a fighting pose with the Oreo.
I like it.
Okay. In.
Oh, and the gallon of milk falls on a Two-Faced henchman's head, just distracting the shit out of him.
Where did that milk come from? This isn't even 2%. Oh.
In true so Sinister sticky. Six fashion, the Sinister Six manages to fuck up like they do because they don't know how to work together. Except for the Goblin, but he's just batshit. So, they're all in a position now where Peter Parker has strategically placed them in a position where he can, as he's falling off the building, just web them all, and they're subdued, except for Chameleon. And what he's going to do is, now that all of his enemies are subdued, and it's the final step in the tutorial, he comes down, he shoots up a web on either side of him, and he knows how elastic they are, and he comes down and just lands with his feet on top of the Chameleon, and his spider sense goes off, and he snatches the cookie out of the air and throws it in his mouth, pulls his mask back down.
Bats eating the cookie.
Okay. So Batman has got his cookie in his front hand. He's in a fighting stance. As he's being approached by another three Two-Face henchmen, he quickly throws it up in the air, dispenses them, and the aura never lands. He looks up in the distance and sees Catwoman sitting on a roof. And she's eating the cookie.
Oh, wow. Closing arguments from Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Spider-Man took down six villains at one time, and Batman never ate the cookie.
That's true.
Ooh. That's fair.
But Batman still did it with style. He terrified the shit out of a Two-Face henchman because he dropped milk on top of one.
He's all sticky now.
He's all sticky.
Dropped a whole jet load of milk.
I thought the thing was just open and just milk.
I should have done that.
You said airstrike. I was really waiting for that moment of just like napalm bombs, gallons of milk falling down after each other, just a carpet bomb of milk.
Oh, I should have done that. That's brilliant.
Just running right ahead of the milk, holding it behind him, and it's just...
Also, dying. I gave readers a reason to tune in next month. Read the next issue, what happens to the Oreo.
Goblin got away.
Oh, Goblin got away.
Always this.
Okay. Deliberation time.
Wait, did you finish yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Man, this is a tough one. I gotta...
They both did it with style.
They did both do it with style.
They both took down the enemies, the bad guys.
That is true. I feel like there was a little bit more, like, drama and intrigue in the Batman one. Just a little bit more. Because of, like, Two-Face had the Oreo first. He had to get the Oreo back.
Yeah.
And then, once he gets the Oreo back, he loses again at the end, and you're like, oh, the Oreo.
Classic.
But that's also...
Solitary, and I thought of one more thing I want to say.
It's just like Robin.
Judge? Yes?
No.
It's a clarification, sort of.
Okay. We will take this, whether or not we will take it into consideration.
Okay, I'll say it first, and then you can approve it or not.
All right.
Okay. Part of the twist and the interest in the tutorial is the fact that you don't realize the Chameleon is not Spider-Man until you see Spider-Man stop the Chameleon and realize that he is, in fact, Spider-Man.
See, both of them do have twists with their hero not having the Oreo at some point. That is true.
You don't realize it until the end. Okay.
But, to be fair, Spidey makes it... Okay. Spidey technically does dunk the Oreo because he does do the two actions that create the dunk, but Batman doesn't ever actually eat the Oreo. So even though he kind of loses it for a second in the tutorial, he still kind of does the actions to make sure.
Yeah.
But Batman does not get to eat it.
Yet.
Doesn't.
Yet.
There is a part two.
There is a part two, which does cliffhanger you, which is like a comic book. So that is fair. Also, for some reason, and I'm just going to make this as a random statement, when Batman was putting the Oreo back together, I totally wanted him to, like, box some dude's ears with his, like, with his forearms and just put the Oreo back together with the box.
Just like that.
Just goom! And he's just like, it's whole again.
Yeah.
But I did like it anyway. It was good.
Whole milk.
You can grow up big and strong like me. Batman fights fucking 6'5 and 250.
He's 6'3".
I thought it was 6'5".
No, 6'3".
How tall is Superman? 6'3" as well?
6'4".
Okay. Let's go
Peter Parker's 5'11". He's the same height as me. Just throwing that out there.
And that's what the
similarities. Actually, I think he's actually 6 foot. He grows up. He was a kid.
Man, I gotta say, like, I liked the theater in Batman's. That one feels like it would have been a little more entertaining to watch. Which is the whole point of Tutorios.
No, yeah, but I also...
I mean, my entire Tutorio literally was in the span of...
Yeah, but he got to clarify.
Yeah, but...
If it's a clarification...
Okay, it's a clarification.
It should be clarified that my entire Tutorio in real time took about 20 seconds.
That's fair.
Nielsen?
Mine probably took about 10 minutes.
Ooh. Do people have the...
But that's also before editing.
I was going to say, in my head, it was really
because
quick.
Because when we film it, I mean, and it could have been faster, I don't know, but when we film a tutorial, it usually takes us about an hour for about a 30-second to a minute tutorial.
Oh, yeah, that's about right.
So.
Batman's, that makes his cleaner. Less editing. He can finish, and then he can post the video from his phone immediately. Ooh. Spider-Man has to edit.
That's going to be on the Daily Bugle.
So his might get almost a little bit more reach.
Almost up. I shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah, but all it'll be is J. Jonah Jameson saying, Spider-Man fighting with other villains over Oreo.
His might get... I don't know. I think I got to give it to Batman.
The goddamn Batman strikes
you. The goddamn Batman.
It's Jeff's Jeff's got the final call.
You do have the final call. I give it to Batman personally, but
I do like that there's a part two, and you really don't know what's going to happen. And that's probably what's going to push me over.
So Batman.
I'm the first loser.
Come on,
Spidey.
I like the whole fighting scene between Spider-Man. That was fucking.
But
cool.
He's just
it's
had so
classic.
Much more drama in it.
But you can't tell me that's not clutch, dude.
No, it is, but
that
like,
could be an Oreo commercial.
But like, so could the Batman one.
They both,
dude, with the Batarang. The Batarang sold me. Like when he was like Batarang split the Oreo in half, I was like. There's gonna, dude, you gotta work really hard to beat the Batarang splitting the Oreo in half.
I don't know, dude, my favorite thing about mine, and I know it's probably not yours since you said that.
The thwip?
The fucking catching the cookie 2 inches off the ground.
No, that was fucking rad.
It was, but the Batarang, man, like.
Okay, winner's bracket.
Winner's bracket. Larfleas and Punisher.
Punisher, oh god.
Do we have to do, are we doing another bracket? That's gotta be for first place, I guess.
This is first place. First
place. I'm third place.
Who's judging?
I judged last time, so you'll judge this time.
And you'll do the scenario?
And I'll come up with it.
Okay, that works.
Larfleas versus Punisher.
Oh, God.
Give me a second, vamp.
Absolutely. Anyway, like I was saying earlier, while I kept trailing off, Mouse Guard, I started reading it again. I bought the first two full books of it, not just, like, the little issues, but, like, I have, like... quote unquote the first two seasons.
Yeah.
So I have fall 1152 and winter 1152.
Yeah.
I forgot not only how beautiful that book is in terms of like the story, but just the artwork in that book. If that whole book could literally just be word bubbles of people going poop and fart and shit and stuff, and I would still read it because it's such beautiful artwork.
Yeah. What's our time sitting at?
9:30.
No, he's talking about time in the podcast.
Time on the
running about an hour and 1 minute and 25 seconds.
Okay.
So the scenario is.
Do you think we were like really far in or really short?
No. It just made me think about how logistically we'll have to do this to do the.
Well, also this is the first time we've done it, and we've also been given a whole lot of like leeway in between.
That's true, and there's an extra round.
So yeah. Let's do Larfleas versus the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
Mailing a package.
That's it.
With
who?
Containing what?
Containing. Oh fuck that! Now let's just. All right, let me think harder. Jeez.
They don't have to obtain the item; they can already have it.
Okay, let's assume that you're both under 21.
Okay. Young Larfleas, so this is like 5 billion years ago.
Well, yeah, just for the purposes of this exercise, let's assume.
JL8 Larfleas.
Yeah, JL8.
Okay, JL8 Larfleas, okay.
And JL8 Punisher, or...
Justice League 8 Punisher. Avengers 8 Punisher.
Avengers A8 Punisher, yeah. Whatever. You guys get to buy cigarettes and alcohol underage.
So who does it better?
So wait, how...
Who actually gets the alcohol?
Okay.
So wait, we have to be 16 or 17.
Yeah.
Wait, you said we were 21.
No, I said under 21.
So now, okay, so who could have bought cigarettes underage? better.
Who's the
with
clerk?
All of your friends waiting outside?
Who's the clerk?
The clerk is Reed Richards. How did you know it was going to be Reed Richards?
That's ridiculous. He didn't know that.
He didn't fucking know that.
I didn't.
He thought you were going to say
Hal Jordan.
I thought you were going to say Kevin Smith.
I really did. I thought you were going to say Kevin Smith.
Okay, fuck it. Kevin Smith.
No! Reed Richards is better.
Reed Richards.
Okay, Reed Richards, fine.
Any idiot that's 16 can buy cigarettes.
From Kevin Smith.
In that movie.
He sold a 4-year-old cigarette.
Yeah, he doesn't card anyone.
Okay.
Well, Kevin Smith's not. Everyone wins. Well, he is, but he's not a clerk.
But you know what I
mean. Yeah.
Coin flip.
I have the quarter.
Flippy, flippy.
Who hasn't called? Have you both called?
I have not called it.
Okay, heads or tails?
Heads.
Tails. I told you this was waiting.
Damn it.
Dude, it's not a... That's a second time. It's 2-2. It's even probability, you dick.
You're right. 50-50 is terrible.
Huh?
Okay. So, we're outside a convenience store.
Opening arguments.
Okay, so...
Opening arguments. Why would the Punisher be better?
Why would the Punisher be better? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to determine that the determination here is who gets the cigarettes. Like, you don't get to say, well, he gives
me the
cigarettes.
And then the tiebreaker is with the most finesse or...
Right.
Okay.
And you still have all your same powers. Arsenal.
You're just young.
Right. But you can't take this person's life because he's innocent.
Shh.
Because that's all code that you have.
Oh, no, yeah.
I can kill him.
Oh, yeah, you don't give a shit. He has something you want. To have.
So the only stipulation is... We have to get the cigarettes. That's it, right?
Yeah, but I determined... The determination
okay.
is I say you Wait, win,
this is your,
you get the cigarettes.
This is your pitch and how you try to get the cigarettes.
Okay, cool.
Oh, we're just trying to get them?
And
we
if
have
you
to legally purchase them?
You have to obtain
cigarettes.
You have
to obtain cigarettes.
You have to enter the convenience store and walk... And I'll determine if you walk out with cigarettes or not.
Okay.
Whoo. Okay.
Charisma check.
Oh, God.
Pick you up by your collar and just
Let's
throw
see.
You in
okay,
my
Okay, so...
Sometimes the best thing to do for opening arguments is say, this is what makes the Punisher, and this is why he would get the cigarettes.
Okay. Being that the Punisher has a, I'm assuming, military background.
Yes.
He went to,
at the
he
age
went to,
of 17.
He went to Oak Ridge.
Yeah, totally.
He was,
Did he really?
Well, you said he has all his powers.
He was ROTC.
Yeah. He was Rotsy.
Okay.
Jay Rotsy.
Oh, you smell funny.
He would know how to get into said convenience store, both without the person knowing, and he would be able to spot cameras and be able to obtain the cigarettes without them ever knowing and
okay.
get out.
So that's the opening argument.
Larfleeze will pass on his opening arguments because he's that confident.
Dick.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say you can't do that because part of the opening arguments reveals your strategy to your opponent.
Yeah, you
and
just
so
can't
just
say...
And so just as a mechanic...
Because.
As a mechanic, I don't want you to pass.
Fine. Larfleeze is the greediest thing in the entire universe. He will find a way to get those fucking cigarettes.
Okay. I'll accept
Period.
That.
Jesus
I will
Christ.
Accept that.
Okay.
Now, these are two different stores.
All right.
Two different stores.
That's
okay,
fine.
Cool. Perfect. Okay.
Both somehow with Reed Richards behind the counter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Ultimate and...
and Marvel Now Reed Richards.
So, the Punisher.
He's got Golden Age. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
The guy that looks like Flat Man.
Before the Punisher even gets to the convenience store, he's going to go to City Hall, get the blueprints for said convenience store.
I don't know what you're telling me.
Sorry, I'm just looking at you. He's going to get the blueprints. He's going to look up all the schematics and everything.
How does he obtain the blueprints?
He's going to go down and... Oh, God.
I mean, he's smart.
You
if
can actually
file,
just
it's,
do
you
that.
Just go
yeah,
to
you
City
can
Hall.
Actually...
But can you do that when you're 17?
Yeah. If it's public record.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. So yes, he's going to obtain blueprints. And while he's doing that, he'll have his friends, who he's going to hire out. He's going to subcontract other guys.
He's going to
his
friends. He's going to Tom Sawyer.
He's going to have them go in.
Okay.
You want to pay check to out his fence?
Where the cameras are.
So he's going to case the place.
Yeah, he's going to check it out, see where all the cameras are, sees who, how the shifts are. Between if there's another guy who comes in, this guy takes a smoke break, any kind of his habits or anything.
Okay.
Then he'll return with the blueprints, and.
Okay.
Okay.
That's definitely okay.
Cool.
Larfleeze uses the orange ring, puts an adult bodysuit over himself.
That's glowing orange.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll do it. He's gonna be glowing orange anyway. He's wearing the ring. No matter what happens, he glows orange.
No, but he now, if he would look like a construct as opposed to looking like himself.
To be fair, not necessarily, considering that in the newest Larfless, he actually is able to create constructs that are real looking.
Okay. But glowing orange.
No. They are actually just real because they actually come out of the ring. And they are real people. I can show you the issue. He'll just put that on as a bodysuit. Just walk in. But for some reason, he's still going to be a weird, crazy dog alien. He's not even going to go human.
Give me the cigarettes!
So he just looks like himself as a, like, 22-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. He just looks older.
And he's going to ask for, as to not be suspicious, a whole carton of cigarettes rather than just a pack.
Punisher, round two.
Wow. All right.
Confidence.
After obtaining all that stuff and figuring out all the breaks and everything, they devise a plan to sneak in. Well, they all go in all at once.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, they're not all going to go in at once. Two of them will go in. Him, the Punisher, and one other go in. One will walk over to the beer aisle. Grab a bottle, drop it, and while the Punisher is staying out of the camera views and sneaks behind the counter, grabs a pack of cigarettes, and walks out.
Round.
Okay.
Cool. Larfleeze realizes how stupid it is that he's asking for cigarettes, says, fuck it. Goes back to regular Larfleeze, puts a whole orange force bubble around Reed Richards and the entire counter and all that shit, leaves one pack of cigarettes outside of the force bubble, picks it up, flicks one open, puts it in his mouth, lights it, carries Reed Richards and all of the rest of the cigarettes off into outer space.
Creepy motherfucker.
Do not need a third round.
Do you
want to done.
He's already walked out with a cigarette.
Yeah, he's got. Yeah.
Okay. Closing arguments.
Do you want me to go first? I got all the cigarettes, motherfucker.
And it was funny.
It was funny. There's only one casualty, and that's one broken beer bottle.
That's not a casualty. It's
fine. Oh no, it wasn't a casualty because it was a Budweiser.
Yeah.
Okay. Deliberation.
I don't know, man. Jeff did it the smart way. He did it like the Punisher would do it.
Let's factor in Reed Richards, anyways.
Okay.
I'm not sure it makes a damn bit of difference.
Because right now, like, in Jeff's, Reed Richards is too busy lecturing the underage kid from trying to steal beer to notice.
Is it Reed Richards with or without powers?
Why would he be Reed Richards without powers?
Cool. In that case.
No.
Never mind.
No.
Then you guys are going to analyze this wrong, but continue.
He's lecturing the kid who tried to steal beer.
I completely agree with that. Even though he's totally, obviously, I think Fulmer's going to say something about how he stretched out over there cleaning up the beer and still able to stand behind the counter. He is, as Reed Richards, actually going to try to lecture the kid.
Yeah, he totally lectured the kid.
That's true to character.
Reed Richards is going to try to teach Kittle.
And he tried to talk the kid into joining the Reed Richards Institute.
Reed Richards will also be lecturing Lurfleas for the rest of forever.
Forever.
Lurfleas' new butler is Reed Richards. Rather than Mr. Stargate.
I don't know, in terms of finesse. I mean...
It's hard not
There's, like, the bulldozer approach. And then there's the actual finesse approach. But style...
It's hard not to give it to Lurfleas.
It is. I mean, make your choice. I mean...
As much as I don't want to... Lurfleas takes this
Lurfleas.
Good job. Good Dick.
That was literally the plan from the very beginning when he was like, you gotta get cigarettes. I was like, I'm gonna go in and pretend like I'm gonna do it normal, and then I'm just gonna take the whole store.
And that was very true to character, too, yes. Which I appreciate. I mean, they both were, but...
Like, what is, like, why am I hiding? I'm a god.
Yeah, like, that was the whole point, is he's just gonna fly off smoking a cigarette with Reed Richards and whole kiosk in tow.
So, that's how that game works.
I like it. It's fun.
That was an entire episode.
I cannot do Larfleas ever again.
No, you can look forward to more of that. Hopefully we can either... We'll either do it as an entire episode with a full bracket and kind of speed it up a little bit, or it may actually be a spin-off podcast or something we do.
Yeah.
I'd like to do
every once in a while.
Spin-off, that'd be fun.
And that'll just be kind of how that works.
That was really fun.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I hope that people can listen to it and have just as much fun. I know people are just going to be yelling at their...
You're going
to
be yelling at their respective listening devices. Just no!
I hope, like, because I've been so deep into Larfleas, I hope that I'm just at least pretty true to character with my
well,
analysis.
That's the thing that's pulled mine out of my
the
ass.
The thing that's tough about that game sometimes is that sometimes you know how you can win. But you really want to respect the source material,
yeah.
You know?
And the sense of the game. I mean...
Honestly, yeah. My first round with Larfleas would have been so much easier as Martian Manhunter. Oh, man. That would have been the easiest thing in the world for me to win. He reads his mind. Done.
Well, I bet Martian Manhunter, the prompt might have been different, too.
That's true. Also, I do have pictures, two different pictures of Larfleas making food on my phone.
You
one
do.
Pizza.
My favorite is the one of
cookies.
Him wearing the hat. He did appear in a chef's hat in the comic at one point, didn't he?
Not in the new one.
I think he did it. I think he did it in the War of Light books or whatever it's called.
I also
the
need to get
books.
Everyone's pictures from the right. Comic
yeah.
book deck.
He's got mine.
I'm gonna post them on the actual website.
Colin looked at my fucking phone the other day and he just starts laughing and I was like, "What?" He goes, "My picture from Free Comic Book Day is your background." I was like, "Yes, it is."
How much time are we working with here?
We are at 1:15 right now.
Okay, so what? How much
Alex,
do we have left?
I mean, I can leave at like 10:15. I got a solid, like
20 minutes.
20 minutes left.
Okay. I don't have a pick.
I don't have a pick.
I already did.
Godzilla,
my pick.
X-Men First Class, X-Men Days of Future Past.
X-Men First Class.
Both, all three.
I already did my pick. It's Mouse Guard. Go back and...
Also, Watch Dogs is pretty fun. I've been playing that.
I want to play it.
Yeah. I love all the negative reactions. Like, you can racially profile people. I'm like, it's the point of the game.
Jeff.
Not to say...
I have a good pick. I have a pick. It is Mr. Duval.
Oh,
that is
yeah.
my pick of the week.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
God.
My God.
That was so much fun.
That's how we're going to round this episode out, I think.
That was my favorite freaking session to date.
Oh, okay. God. So...
See, that's why I love this NPCing, because I can just do whatever the fuck I want, and Alex lets me.
I just do. I like, every time Colin comes in, I never regulate him. I never regulate...
So...
Oh, man.
So what happened is, at our weekly outbreak game, that Fulmer's ZMing...
In Chris's universe.
Yeah. Colin came in and was an NPC.
This is just a beautiful session to begin
with. Oh, my
really
God.
Was. You like, want to recap the session?
Yeah.
Might as well.
So they started out, basically what happened is pretty quickly into our game, the guys I've been playing with, they're really, really good for beginners, like exceptionally good for beginners.
Yeah, they're really good.
And one of them decided to go to a place that I was not expecting them to go for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they ran into some characters they weren't supposed to meet for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they ended up fucking that up real bad and getting kidnapped. And getting taken back to a plantation house.
Do you have any PCs that are subscribers?
A couple.
Okay, so we shouldn't.
No, they know that though.
I was asking for.
But my no, answer. I'm not. Yeah, we're not going to spoil anything storyline wise. But so they've been at this plantation house for a while with all these basically like Jamaican freedom fighter kind of guys.
Fighting for the freedom of Jamaica. In America.
In America. And they, well that, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
And since the party killed two of their members, the group of Jamaican people was like, all right, you got to fill the ranks now since you killed a couple of our people. And they've been training them for a little while, and they sent them out on a mission, which is just a simple delivery pickup mission. That's all it was.
Is it
last
ever?
Week?
Is it ever?
Or, last time we played before this, Kevin Merrill, one of the guys who's been on this podcast quite a bit. He hosts the 336 Network and all that good stuff with Three Beers and all that. Decided that his character had undergone way too much trauma in 3 days. Which was kind of true, walks into the kitchen, grabs a bottle of bleach, walks out the back door, and kills himself.
The worst way to die.
And then he decides that he wants to play the actual character, not just an analog of said character, but wants to play Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Which was a point of contention.
Yeah, me and him fought about it for like 2 weeks about whether or not he was going to do it. And then my girlfriend sent me a message when I was, like, bitching her about it. And she was like, why don't you just let him do it? And I was like, fine, I'll just let him do it.
And like, I said something to the same extent. I was like, it's not really, like, I know it's kind of a tabletop taboo.
Yeah, I don't,
so
yeah.
to speak, but it's no different than
yeah.
than making an identical character.
It turned out
build.
Amazing. I mean, yeah. I played a vampire game, a Vampire the Masquerade game, or Vampire the Requiem, actually, where I was Dante from Devil May Cry.
Yeah, but that's not a real person.
Yeah, but this is set in a real-world situation.
But
so
still,
that's that still even does border on yeah. that same line of taboo.
I mean,
like,
I didn't name him Dante, but he wore a red duster. He had two guns.
Well, but
and a sword.
That's the thing, though. That's the thing,
but
though.
But
there's a key difference here, and part of the key difference
the
is the fact that in this game, Steve Austin does exist as a person. My
yeah.
and Jeff's character is geeked out because it was, in fact, the,
right.
actual,
the actual
Steve Austin.
That's the
Steve
Austin.
Yeah, and yeah. so if it was somebody who was not the actual Steve Austin and was an identical build, even if he had the same name, still wouldn't have had that same
yeah.
It wouldn't have had
reaction.
The effect on the story as well.
Right.
So they go to basically a meeting point, and the whole group gets out of the fucking people mover, which is what we call the van.
Wait. Who got out of the people mover first?
Okay. Okay, this is what happened. They pull up, and they see, like, an old fucking Mustang, like a 67 Fastback. And the two people that get out of the Mustang are Stone Cold Steve Austin and Sheamus.
The wrestler.
The wrestler from WWE Network and all that good stuff. And
because they totally talked Rob into that. They were like, no, just be Sheamus. He's like,
no, he actually said he wanted to be Sheamus.
Well, he just came up with the name Sheamus.
With the name Sheamus, and they were like, you know, that's a wrestler. And he was like, I'm him then.
And the
like,
build actually worked.
The build
did
work
build
perfectly.
Prior to that.
And then both Chris and fucking Jeff's characters saw Stone Cold Steve Austin, flipped their shiznits, busted
they failed,
off the
they
bus.
They failed wheel
checks.
I
and
made
they,
out with somebody to get a Sharpie.
Oh, yeah, dude. He made out with the lesbian basketball player so he could grab the Sharpie from her. And
that's
they
the second Zach.
And they booked it out of the bus to go talk to Stone Cold Steve Austin. And they're just fangirling over him. And he goes, ah, fuck it, everybody gets one. And just signs
and Merrill,
their poker chips.
And Kevin Merrill breaks out the best fucking Steve Austin impersonation
yeah.
I've ever good. Heard.
Like, it was...
I'm really glad he got to do it, because it was that the whole thing was on point.
That yeah, was
yeah,
he actually...
Yeah. Had
he
not he pulled
came
it off?
With it.
He's playing the character really well. So then they get this escort mission,
and every time he opens his mouth, he's promoing.
Yeah.
It's like he's cutting a promo.
He promos every time he opens his mouth. But then they walk... They get escorted through, like, a little bit of backwood area onto a, like, kind of... business strip, and they walk by the dead guy's fucking corporate office. They walk by Kevin's old character's corporate office.
Paul Goodwin,
which is Saul Goodman. Yeah. Kevin likes to just play other characters that are
dude, as
a
beginning RPer,
yeah.
We all fucking did it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And then they walk into this building with a revolving door. And everyone at this point has realized how incredibly OP Matt's character with his bike is. Like, oh, I get bonuses to everything of like 35,000.
And
like,
he's just
reception 80.
And he's just exploiting holes.
Oh yeah, he's just like, I'm on my bike. I'm on my bike. I'm like, dude, you can't just be on your bike all the time.
And
like,
it's a broken mechanic to begin with.
Yeah. So
find out how we fix that.
Yeah. So they go into the building.
He's got the bike.
I'm gonna let you guys take over from here.
In the spinning door with him, and like every three steps, I just push it backwards so the bike keeps smacking him in the face.
Matt got picked on real bad.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. The entire session.
They got in the building, and there's like a big logo on the ground of the building's
floor.
On the floor, and DI, which is the logo for the bill, or the logo for the company. And Matt's character takes a picture of it, and he's about to send it to all his buddies and ask what it is. And a guard comes over and takes his phone. There's a little conversation between Jeff's character and Matt's character that ends with...
Well, no. The guard walks away.
Yeah.
Chris's character walks over, distracts him.
Steals the phone back.
Shows some titties.
And Fulmer didn't want me to do it. And I rolled a crit, and he was like, no, you can't do it. And I was like, I will re-roll this. And out of frustration, I just threw the dice to the table, and it showed up as another crit.
Yeah.
So he distracts him. While that's going on, Matt's on his bike. I just shove him off his bike.
Because that's what's drawing all the fucking attention,
yeah.
Is that
the guard looks.
Yeah.
Chris steals the cell phone.
And then, Chris and Jeff are like, okay, ask him who the message was supposed to go to. Matt looks Jeff's character, or Matt's character looks Jeff's character in the face and goes, my mom.
Because he was trying to send a text.
Yeah.
To somebody.
And I was trying to ask who he was sending it to.
And since Jude knew that, or Jeff's character knew that was a flat-out lie, he just decks him. Just breaks his nose.
I crit on that, too.
And he breaks his nose, and he starts bleeding everywhere, and then they get taken upstairs to see the
Collins
owner.
NPC.
Collins NPC. And I'll let you guys take it from here. This is...
Collins.
No, go ahead.
No, this is
pretty much where you come in.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Basically, they come upstairs, and they walk into this just like, basically it's like a normal office building all the way up, and they step out of the penthouse elevator, and it just becomes like a Bond villain.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a Bond villain's lair, like there's henchmen everywhere all wearing the same thing. They see like...
It reminded me of Claw from Inspector Gadget.
Very much, that's kind of what, And this big, basically an amalgamation of every awesome bad guy, this gigantic chair, like...
It's like 3 feet across, like 6 feet tall.
And
shit.
Duval turns around, and he fills it. And he's just like this big fucking fat shit. And he opens his mouth, and he's got this really fucking genteel, like, southern accent. He's acting all sweet and stuff to them before. It was such a blur. I was in such a I can't remember exactly what happened.
Basically what happened was he was basically telling everybody, you're here for me to give you something to take back. Don't fuck with me. Like,
you're not going to get anything over on me. You're not going to get anything past me.
And he was like, one of you already tried to take pictures in my lobby. And then Matt's character gives him the finger. Like, just straight up gives him the finger. And he goes, and then Colin's character goes, Duval goes, Mr. Austin, could you please take care of this? And he gets stunned. He gets stone cold stunned. Just fucking like, I even got up so Kevin could fake stun me.
Yeah.
I was like, this is what happens. Stone cold comes over, kicks your character in the stomach, and stuns you. And then like.
And the thing is he crit, so like,
yeah.
We had to nerf damage so that fucking Matt's character
didn't
die.
Yeah.
He would have died that night.
And he, so then like Matt's character's passed out and like. They bring out the crates and all that stuff, and then Matt's character wakes up, and...
His bike's been taken.
Duval, like, brings the bike up in the other elevator, and then he, like, slashes the tires, takes the wheels off, like, fucks
the
bike
up. I just give him one wheel.
Yeah.
And, like, I keep the frame, and I'm like, just to make sure that this guy's back to where it's going, and you know...
Yeah.
Who the fuck is in charge here.
You made him apologize, like, 6 times.
Yeah.
He kept saying, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Like, he said it, like, five or six times. Like, could you
just in
this
random situation. And Booker's character was just fucking terrified.
Oh, man. Like, so worried.
And I can't remember the other guy's name. The guy who played the guy in the kilt.
Everett.
Oh, I had been fucking shook.
Oh, God. And they had gumbo that morning, and everybody was, like, fighting off gumbo farts in the elevator and stuff.
I have never been so glad I had a decent Will score.
Yeah. That's it. Girl
gumbo farts.
Because you've been all...
Gave zero shits.
Oh, yeah.
But, so they're walking out.
And did in that situation.
Yeah.
They're walking out, and Matt's character makes some smart comment about his bike.
Yeah.
Or something, and I just... At that point, I texted Alex, and it was like, the other bike wheel hits a taxi right in front of me.
And so
he was texting me the whole time, telling me, like, I'm on the closed circuit TV, I'm sending messages, I'm, like, calling down to my agents, like...
Yeah.
A lot of the listeners may think that we were really hard on Matt.
No, that's the rule as a DM.
But...
You give them everything they want,
well,
and then wish they never had
it. Serves as a lesson to what happens to people who try to exploit weak points in game systems.
Yeah.
Because
we will close a loophole in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like he's like,
especially if you min-max a character and are screwed when that min-max goes away.
Yep.
Yeah. Like and that's the thing is that what really sucked about it is he was like, my perception's like an 80 on my bike. I was like, nobody has an 80. Nobody ever has an 80.
He's like but it's in the rule. I'm like, that's
not how that works.
Just because there is a cap.
Read the entire book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't be Superman when you're on your bike. That's not.
But, like, just Colin's character...
And he was using... And not only was he exploiting the role, because obviously the role's there for a reason, and yes, he's supposed to have stupid good perception, but he was also going against the spirit of the skill.
Yeah.
Right? And playing strictly to the letter of...
Yeah.
Well, this is what the book says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not how you're supposed to play. Like, anybody who ever gets a chance to play...
if you make a system, like, even D&D's got holes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like... And that's been around for... decades.
I mean, if you can
30 years or so.
If almost. You can exploit a rule in D&D and still make it fun, usually DMs will give you a pass.
Yeah.
Because you did, because it took some work to get there.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
You did some research.
Because you find that loophole and you're like, oh, I can just...
Right. And yeah. They'll at least let you have it. Usually, in that situation, I would say...
And you better be up against the BBEG, like, if you're trying to pull
usually
that
usually what
loophole.
I would say in that situation is, good job, well done, I'll let you have this for four weeks.
Yeah.
Or I'll let you have this till I figure out how to take it away from you, like we did.
But yeah, like that's the whole thing. Is if you ever play in an RPG game, like a tabletop RPG, please don't find a loophole in the system and then be like, "Oh, I'm going to do this all the time because I can." Play your character the way the character would be played. Like, don't Matt would actually take the bike and he'd ride around in the foyer of the upstairs bedrooms, so he'd get bonuses on listening
on his people's, hearing. Yeah.
On his hearing, and I'm like.
That's metagaming.
Yeah, like, and not only that, like, in real life, you can't hear better because you're on a bike.
No.
No.
Like, that's the silly.
Probably be actually worse.
Yeah.
It's going to get, the spirit of the rule is that if you're comfortable on a bike, you're very in tune with your surroundings riding the bike. And that's kind of the spirit of the rule.
That just means that, like, you won't almost take a negative because you're riding a bike.
Yeah.
Like,
I think, because in most things, like, I can't hear people when I'm on a bike.
But think about this, like, I think the spirit of the rule kind of goes, like, if you're just walking down the street, your passive spot is going to extend out 20 feet.
Yeah.
Because that's all you're concerned about. But if you're on a bike, and you're somebody who rides bikes, your passive spot could extend about a mile, because you're trying to see anything that could be a problem way out in the
distance. Not looking for clues.
So I understand why the rule's there, but, yeah, it's just, yeah.
But it's basically like a perception check, like... there's a car coming.
Yeah.
It's 100 feet away.
I see that car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I hear the two Jamaicans talking in the bedroom because I'm on my bike.
Yeah. My guys do really well. Like, they do.
No,
they're really good players.
I really like
the Yeah, I had a blast. Like, I absolutely had a blast.
And playing and bringing Colin
in. We should
Colin
also check Aretta and possibly contact...
Yeah, I think I'm going to.
The company about that one, because it's kind of...
I honestly,
I'm kind of really disappointed at Outbreak over that, because they should know better...
That's a huge imbalance.
...than to make a skill be an attribute bonus of that magnitude.
Yeah.
Like, what is it, plus 20?
Yeah,
it's more than that, because he said he had an 80, and
also skill stacking and stuff, too, which is fine, because that's... But.
Another thing, though, I will say about things like that, if your character is based on, like, because he kept saying my character is like Ryan Gosling in this movie, and I'm like, no, your character looks like Ryan Gosling in that movie. Your character is not Ryan Gosling from Drive.
Unless you are a random Kevin Merrill playing
yeah.
Steve Cold
Stone. Like, you are...
Steve Cold Stone Austin.
Steve Cold Stone Austin.
That
Cold Steve Cold Stone Austin.
but you no, put like, some tip in so I can sing.
But no, like, I when he said that, I was like, your character is a bullshit 25-year-old
who watched
bike messenger. Like, he's
yeah.
not a fucking trained assassin. Like,
yeah.
No, every time there's conflict, he's at my feet.
Yeah, like, don't... like, Ryan Gosling took that knife from that guy in that scene. Well, if your character tries to take that knife, he's gonna get stabbed in the face.
Also,
so.
let me put this down this way, too.
Also, we can be as loud as we want, because those neighbors don't live there anymore.
Oh, wow.
I saw that for sale sign.
Yeah. As far as I know, you can... The other GMs here can
How
verify
much is it?
This. if you're a player, and you're in a game, and you're exploiting a loop, the GM's not gonna care unless it becomes a problem. Okay?
Yeah.
And what it was interesting to me is that he has these awesome boosts, okay? But yet, every significant spot check that night got failed. And if you min-max your character to be a perception-based character, you should be nailing those spots, and therefore you become more effective for your party in a way that the GM could approve of, and sometimes even be grateful for, because nobody likes it when their party misses something because they roll bad spots.
Even if he was a ride-ahead scout, it would make more sense.
Right. One thing, if you're riding a bike around in a bedroom so you can hear people in another room, and you do that as a one-time, like, look, this system's broken, this is funny, because everybody's going to think it's funny, and as long as you do that once every, like, month or something, that's okay. It's okay to have a broken character as long as it's not like every 2 seconds, hey, here's that game loop again, here's that game loop.
And if it comes to the point where three people have to show an example of you,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
doing something wrong.
I mean, I had a fucking broken-ass character in one of Adam's games, but, like, I didn't exploit it every 12 seconds. So.
Yeah.
Exactly. I have a broken character in your universe.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't do it every...
And it actually...
It helps the party.
And it helps the party, and it helps me as a GM, more importantly.
Yeah.
Because I can throw stuff at you guys that you're going to have a lot of fun with without being worried. Something that can legitimately kill anybody in your party without being worried that it's going to TPK you guys.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like an awesome ranged fighter. And so if I throw a bunch of guys out there, if there's one person whose skills aren't as... If their fighting isn't as good, but everybody else's fighting is way better, then you'll protect that one person so that everybody else can still have fun fighting stuff that's the same level as they are, even if that one person isn't there and they're not in any real danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I'm good with today.
Yeah,
I think this
that's
is
it.
Yeah.
That was a fun game. We'll have to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we should definitely talk about making that a separate podcast, because that'd be really fun to do brackets and have people send us.
Super fight!
And then we can have like a guest
We can call it Super Fight.
Yeah.
Super Fight Podcast.
Neighbor Dacted presents
a Super Fight podcast.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it.
So, okay. All right, everybody. Go on, touch some butts.
Bye.